Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Bill Russell was born in Deadwood, raised in Spearfish, but today he calls New York City home. Russell is a Tony-nominated Broadway playwright and lyricist. We're going to talk about his multiple credits and projects and awards coming up, but for now, he's a guest artist with the Black Hills Playhouse this month. He joins us today from the Playhouse at Custer State Park. Bill Russell, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks so much.
I'm wondering if you meet a lot of South Dakotans in New York City.
Well, occasionally. There's a group, a Facebook group of South Dakotans in New York City, so I've met people through that.
Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be a Facebook group of South Dakotans
right.
living in New York City? So let's go back to your family in South Dakota. You come from a rancher family, is that right?
Yes, my paternal grandparents had a ranch in Aladdin, Wyoming, just over the border. And everyone called my father Cowboy.
Do you get a lot of mileage out of that in the city?
Oh, yeah.
I would use that to my full advantage were I to move to New York City. Tell me how you some of your early experiences in the arts then in South Dakota that kind of got the theater bug in your veins.
Well, for one, a very important one was the Black Hills Passion Play, which performed in Spearfish for decades. And, you know, they hired 20 professional actors for speaking roles, but the other 200 cast members were volunteers from the town. And I started appearing in that when I was 5 years old, blessed by Jesus in the Garden of Bethany. And then I worked my way up to herding sheep and then to leading camels. And it was this whole backstage life that dressing rooms and actors and just everything I really dreamed of doing. And where I got bitten by that theater bug, I don't really know. But even in second grade, I wrote and directed a production of Cinderella starring all my friends. And a lot of kids do that. But I think what was different about me was I talked every teacher in the elementary school into letting out class to see my show.
Oh. But jumping from wanting to be in the production to wanting to write it is, and keeping that writing sort of going, do you remember? Was there something in those early productions that you enjoyed about writing and having a little bit of mastery over what was happening on the stage?
I started writing poetry fairly early, and I did write a one act in high school when I was a sophomore mm-hmm. in high school, and I gave it to my English teacher, and she said, "Oh, we should do this here," and she gave it to the principal, and he wouldn't allow it to be done. Because it portrayed high school students, he said, first of all, high school students don't drink, and secondly, they never have babies out of wedlock.
So some censorship.
So
you were experiencing some censorship early on.
Yeah.
How did that experience, how did you take that experience forward of being told that something that you knew was reality was not appropriate to be staged?
Well, I appreciated it was high school, and he had certain, you know, considerations. When I got to college, I wrote another one act, and it was produced there. I went to Morningside College in Sioux City, Iowa for 2 years. And then while I was there, I had a wonderful professor who ended up going to the University of Kansas for graduate school and directed my first musical there, which won a national prize.
I'm wondering, you know, you keep saying, I wrote this and I did it, but that seems to be, like, most people wouldn't consider, I'm just going to write a one act. You know, poetry, I get, you're going to learn that in school a little bit, you're going to be
right.
challenged to write a poem. I can't think of a school experience where I've ever heard of someone being challenged to write a one act. So this is coming from your own initiative.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, I just felt like I could do it and wanted to try.
Had you ever read a script before?
Oh, sure, sure. I was very active. I mean, I was in all the school plays and in the theater drama club. I definitely was into it.
How did you get better? I mean, how did you work on improving? Do you look at what's being staged and then you say, that's not working, I need to make changes? Or is that sort of an internal thing where you're making those choices on your own?
Well, musicals, I had my first playwriting teacher said, and I was working on my first musical, said, you know, plays aren't so much written as rewritten. They should call it play rewriting.
Right.
And that's really true. And musicals are almost always a collaborative process. process, and they take a long time. So they're developed, especially commercially, over many stages, starting with readings and then workshop productions, and finally, if you're lucky, full productions, which are very expensive. So it takes a long time, but yes, we make changes through all of that.
Does the rewriting happen because in the collaboration with the actors?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah, they inform different things and, sure, inspire stuff.
Who are the great playwrights that sort of inspire you?
Tennessee Williams. Mm-hmm. I love his stuff. And then for songwriting, Frank Lesser, the author, the composer and lyricist of Guys and Dolls, was a huge influence. And I was very influenced by pop music almost as much as musical theater. The Beatles, Joni Mitchell, Paul Simon, they were all heroes to me. And really, my musical theater career has been about where rock and pop music meet musical theater.
Huh. You took a detour into pop music during your college years, is that correct?
Right after college.
After college. So you went and did, tell us about that experience of sort of writing lyrics for a group.
Well, my first two musicals were written with Janet Hood, who I had met on a summer job at a resort in New Jersey. She's a brilliant musician and who was classically trained and was at Oberlin, but she was sort of over classical music and really has the soul of a African-American jazz and blues diva. She was transferring to the Berklee School of Music in Boston, and I sort of followed her there, and she was sharing an apartment with another Oberlin woman named Linda Langford, who was an incredible singer, and I kept saying that they should perform together, and they said, well, we couldn't by ourselves, but if you managed us, we could. So I did manage them and wrote all their lyrics, and we did that for 5 years. Yeah.
Tell me about the nature of collaboration. What are you looking for in a collaborative partner?
I like to be challenged. I like to work with people who I think are better than me, because I learn so much, and so it's a lot about that, and people I admire, because I don't write music, I write lyrics and books, but so with composers, I'm always looking for people, really, that I'm a fan of.
And are they looking for the same thing from you? Do you find someone who is your fan, and you're figuring that out?
Sometimes. I mean, I've worked with composers who were much better known than me. Henry Krieger, I've written four musicals with. He's the composer of Dreamgirls. He has three Oscar nominations, a couple of Grammys, Tony nominations. And so, but he did know some of my work, and I approached him about Sideshow, and yes, he came on board.
Let's talk about some of your projects, some of the plays, the shows. You're working on Pageant right now, is what's showing at the Black Hills Playhouse, and we can give some details at the end as far as when is it showing. But tell me a little bit about Pageant and your work on it.
Well, Pageant is a beauty pageant, and the contestants compete, they're regional winners, and they compete in swimsuits, evening gown, talent, and beauty crisis counseling, because it's sponsored by a cosmetics company. But they're all played by men.
Uh-huh.
And I don't consider Pageant a drag show, because we're not. That's not what we're doing. We're satirizing the way that concepts of beauty are foisted on women in our culture. So that if we cast women in these roles and paraded them down the runway in swimsuits, we would be exploiting them in the way that we're making fun of. But by having men play those roles, it sort of puts it in high relief and hopefully supplies a lot of satirical opportunities.
Talk to me a little bit about source material. You've done productions like Lucky Duck, which comes from fairy tales, Hans Christian Andersen,
right.
And then I see a musical of Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. So talk to me a little bit how you approach something that how you approach source material like that.
Well, I both have done adaptations and several original musicals. Brave New World just opened in May, had its world premiere in Asheville, North Carolina, and that was really a commission. I was brought on board. I was the last writer brought on board, and I have always wanted to write only lyrics for a musical, and this was my first opportunity. I had read the novel when I was in high school on my own. It wasn't assigned, and but I hadn't looked at it for and when I reread it, I thought, how is this going to be a musical?
Right, that's my first thought. How is Brave New World a musical?
But the book writer, Ben Andron, who is from L.A., really, he had been working on it for a while, and he found a great way into it. And it just turned out to be fantastic. We got rave reviews, both from critics who didn't know the book at all and those who really knew it well. So I was so happy about that.
And how do you approach that conversation respectfully when you take a novel such as that? Because you don't want to get that wrong.
Exactly, because there are so many people who really know the book and know it well, but it's not structured in a way that really adapts to the stage. For instance, the protagonist doesn't even appear until halfway through the novel.
Right. And
you can't really do that in a show. So we had to take some liberties, but I was so pleased with the response from people who knew the book and saying, I never could imagine how this could be a musical, but you guys really did it. So that was very satisfying.
And when you approach things like a fairy tale or Up in the Air, which is, what is that from, a Japanese fairy tale?
A Japanese children's story,
yes. A Japanese children's story about a tree-climbing frog.
Right.
So how do you approach source material like that, which has a longer tradition, but has been, maybe not the tree frog, but certainly Ugly Duckling's been done 8 million times.
Right. Well, we didn't really consult Hans Christian Andersen. It's,
right.
It's our own crazy take on the Ugly Duckling idea. She runs away from her barnyard to New Duck City, and when she transforms into a swan, she becomes the hottest supermodel in the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
So it's
to great effect.
Yes,
I'm sure. Tell me about some original work.
Well, I have a new musical with Janet Hood, having its world premiere next month in Wellfleet on Cape Cod, and it's a piece we've been working on for almost 11 years now. Not by any means all the time. We've had to put it aside several times for various reasons, but it's a musical for four women. And it's partly about gay marriage, and I frankly, during the process, kept thinking this is going to be outdated by the time it's produced because cultural attitudes and laws have changed so rapidly during that 11 years. But then things like Orlando happen, and I think, you know, these issues are not resolved, and especially within families, which this is about. So I'm very, very excited about it. We have a wonderful cast and producer and director. And, it actually starts rehearsals before I get back from South Dakota.
So speaking of that history, you've probably lived, I guess I don't know how old you are, but through Stonewall, through Matthew Shepard, through gay marriage, through Orlando.
Yeah.
Does all this impact you as a writer as well as a man?
Oh, hugely, hugely. I came out at the height of the beginnings of the gay liberation movement, and I have been fairly actively involved throughout my career and have written a lot of shows that deal with subjects that are important to the gay community.
There are many men who are gay men now who lived through the AIDS crisis who are reaching out to people in Orlando and saying, you know, you will get through this. Do you feel like you have an obligation or responsibility, having lived through some things, to reach out to some of the younger people and mentor them?
Oh, completely, completely. I do have an AIDS piece that I wrote with Janet Hood called Elegies for Angels, Punks, and Raging Queens. And it gets done in America, but it's never had a high commercial profile here because I usually do it with a cast often of 50 performers. But in England, it did have a run, three productions, which I directed in London, and including a West End production that had several British stars in it, including Trudy Styler, who is married to Sting.
Mm-hmm.
So over there, it gets done a lot. Drama schools do it all the time, but that's very much along those lines. And yes, I try to mentor younger people, especially when I'm here in South Dakota. I try to make a point of the fact that I am gay. I've been with my partner, Bruce Bossard, now for 37 years. We met in daycare. Not really, but a long time. And we've been married for 7 years.
What's it like coming home to South Dakota? Do you still consider this your home in some ways?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's the roots of my being, and I love coming here. The Black Hills are so beautiful. This experience of being at the Playhouse has just been extraordinary. I do have a lot of friends still in the area, so I love coming back.
What do you take with you as a South Dakotan to New York City and to your world travels that just always sort of stays the same?
Oh, completely, and it does affect my writing. I mean, there are many examples. I've never done a show that's set in South Dakota, but it does... It is evidenced in my plays a lot.
That's your next task. We're all going to ask you as South Dakotans to put us in a Broadway show. South Dakota Hall of Fame coming up to be inducted. Did you ever see that coming?
I certainly did not. I frankly didn't even know there was one. But my friend Charlene Lund, who lives in Pierre, was aware of it and said, I'd like to nominate you for this. And I said, okay. And she was wonderful. It's quite a complicated process, and she really followed through with all of it. And yes, I'm thrilled.
Bill Russell, I'm going to say thank you for joining us. Please come back again.
I'd love to.